I'm not managing very well on my own, am I? Said Savardin miserably. Heedless of Skyot Hour's disapproval, I bought Savardin new gloves and jacket, dark green, still the sort of thing that was extruded on demand, but at least it fit better, and the higher quality was obvious. The gray ones were past laundering, and I knew the supply office wouldn't issue more clothes so soon. When Savardin had put them on and sent the old ones for recycling, I said, Have you eaten? I was planning to offer you supper when Station told me where you were. She'd washed her face and now looked more or less reputable, give or take the bruising under the corrective on her cheek. I'm not hungry, she said. A flicker of something. Regret? Annoyance? I couldn't quite tell, flashed across her face. She crossed her arms and quickly uncrossed them again, a gesture I hadn't seen in months. Can I offer you tea, then, while I eat? I would love tea, she said with emphatic sincerity. I remembered that she had no money, had refused to let me give her any. All that tea we had carried with us was in my luggage. She had taken none of it with her when we'd parted the night before. And tea, of course, was an extra, a luxury. Which wasn't really a luxury, not by Savardin's standards, anyway. Likely not by any Rodchai standards. We found a tea shop, and I bought something rolled in a sheet of algae, and some fruit and tea, and we took a table in a corner. Are you sure you don't want anything? I asked. Fruit? She feigned lack of interest in the fruit, and then took a piece. I hope you had a better day than I did. Probably. I waited a moment to see if she wanted to talk about what had happened, but she said nothing, just waited for me to continue. I went to the temple this morning and ran into some ship's captain who stared quite rudely and then sent one of her soldiers after me to invite me to tea. One of her soldiers? Savardin realized her arms were crossed, uncrossed them, picked up her teacup, set it down again. Ancillary? Human, I'm pretty sure. Savardin lifted an eyebrow briefly. You shouldn't go. She should have invited you herself. You didn't say yes, did you? I didn't say no. Three Rodchai entered the tea shop laughing. All wore the dark blue of dock authority. One of them was Douse Kate, Inspector Supervisor Skyot's assistant. She didn't seem to notice me. I don't think the invitation was on my account. I think she wants me to introduce her to you. But, she frowned, looked at the bowl of tea in one green-gloved hand, brushed the front of the new jacket with the other. What's her name?
Vel Osk.
Osk, never heard of them. She took another drink of tea.
Douse Kate and her friends bought tea and pastries, sat at a table on the other side of the room, talking animatedly.
Why would she want to meet me?
I raised an eyebrow, incredulous.
You're the one who believes any unlikely event is a message from God, I pointed out. You're lost for 1,000 years, found by accident, disappear again, and then turn up at a palace with a rich foreigner. And you're surprised when that gets attention?
She made an ambiguous gesture. Absent Vendai as a functioning house, you need to establish yourself somehow. She looked so dismayed, just for the shortest instant, that I thought my words had offended her in some way. But then she seemed to recover herself.
If Captain Vel wanted my goodwill, or cared at all about my opinion, she made a bad start by insulting you.
Her old arrogance lurked behind those words, a startling difference from her barely suppressed dejection up to now. What about that inspector supervisor? I asked. Skyot, right? She seemed polite enough, and you seemed to know who she was.
All the hours seem polite enough, Savardin said disgustedly.
Over her shoulder, I watched Douse Kate laugh at something one of her companions had said.
They seem totally normal at first, Savardin went on,
But then they go having visions, or deciding something's wrong with the universe and they have to fix it. Or both at once. They're all insane.
She was silent a moment and then turned to see what I was looking at. Turned back.
Oh, her. Isn't she kind of provincial looking?
I turned my full attention on Savardin, looked at her. She looked down at the table.
I'm sorry, that was just wrong. I don't have any.
I doubt, I interrupted, that her pay allows her to wear clothes that make her look different.
That's not what I meant.
Savardin looked up, distress and embarrassment obvious in her expression.
But what I meant was bad enough. I was just surprised. All this time, I guess I've just assumed you were an ascetic. It just surprised me.
An ascetic. I could see why she would have assumed that. But not why it would have mattered that she was wrong. Unless...
You're not jealous,
I asked, incredulous. Well-dressed or not, I was just as provincial-looking as Douse Kate, just from a different province.
No!
And then the next moment.
Well, yes, but not like that.
I realized then that it wasn't just other Rodchai who might get the wrong impression from the gift of clothes I'd just made. Even though Savardin surely knew I couldn't offer clientage. Even though I knew that if she thought about it for longer than 30 seconds, she would never want from me what that gift implied. Surely she couldn't think that I'd meant that. Yesterday the inspector supervisor told me I was in danger of giving you false expectations, or of giving others the wrong impression. Savardin made a scornful noise.
That would be worth considering if I had the remotest interest in what our thinks.
I raised an eyebrow and she continued in a more contrite tone.
I thought I'd be able to handle things by myself. But all last night and all today, I've just been wishing I'd stayed with you. I guess it's true, all citizens are taken care of. I didn't see anyone starving or naked.
Her face momentarily showed disgust.
But those clothes! And the skell! Just skell all the time, very carefully measured out. I didn't think I'd mind. I mean, I don't mind skell, but I could hardly choke it down.
I could guess the mood she'd been in when she'd gotten into that fight.
I think it was knowing I wasn't going to get anything else for weeks and weeks and,
she said with a rueful smile,
knowing I'd have had it better if I'd asked to stay with you.
So you want your old job back then? I asked.
Fuck yes, she said,
emphatic and relieved. Loud enough for the party across the room to hear and turn disapproving glances our way. Language, citizen. I took another bite of my algae roll, relieved I discovered on several counts. Are you sure you wouldn't rather take your chances with Captain Vell?
You can have tea with whoever you want, said Savardin. But she should have invited you herself.
Your manners are 1,000 years old, I pointed out.
Manners are manners, she said, indignant. But like I said, you can have tea with whoever you want.
Inspector Supervisor Skyot entered the shop, saw Douse Kate and nodded to her, but came over to where Savardin and I sat. Hesitated just an instant, noticing the correctives on Savardin's face, but then pretended she hadn't seen them.
Citizen. Honored.
Inspector Supervisor, I replied. Savardin merely nodded.
I'm hosting a small get-together tomorrow evening.
She named a place.
Just tea, nothing formal. I'd be honored if you both came.
Savardin laughed outright.
Manners, she said again. Our manners.
Skyot frowned, nonplussed.
Yours is the second such invitation today, I explained. Citizen Savardin tells me the first was less than entirely courteous.
I hope mine met her exacting standards, Skyot said.
Who failed them?
Captain Vell, I answered, of Mercy of Collar.
To someone who didn't know her well, Skyot probably looked as though she had no real opinions about Captain Vell.
Well, I admit I intended to introduce you, citizen, to friends of mine who might be useful to you, but you might find Captain Vell's acquaintance more congenial.
You must have a low opinion of me, Savardin said.
It's possible, said Skyot, and oh, how strange it was to hear her speak with such gravity, as I had known her 20 years ago, but different.
That Captain Vell's approach was less than entirely respectful toward the honored Breck. But in other respects, I suspect you'd find her sympathetic.
Before Savardin could answer, Skyot continued.
I have to go. I hope to see you both tomorrow evening.
She looked over at the table where her assistant sat, and all three of the adjunct inspectors there stood and left the shop behind her. Savardin was silent a moment, watching the door they had exited from.
Well, I said. Savardin looked back to me. I guess if you're coming back, I'd better pay you so you can buy some more decent clothes.
An expression I couldn't quite read flashed across Savardin's face.
Where did you get yours?
I don't think I'll pay you that much, I said. Savardin laughed, took a drink of her tea, another piece of fruit. I wasn't at all certain she'd really eaten.
Are you sure you don't want anything else? I asked.
I'm sure.
What is that thing?
She looked toward the last bit of my algae-covered supper.
No idea.
I hadn't ever seen anything quite like it in the Rotch. It must have been recently invented, or an idea imported from some other place.
It's good, though. Do you want one? We can take it back to the room if you like.
Savardin made a face.
No, thanks. You're more adventurous than I am.
I suppose I am, I agreed pleasantly. I finished the last of my supper, drained my tea.
But you wouldn't know it to look at me today.
I spent the morning in the temple, like a good tourist, and the afternoon watching an entertainment in my room.
Let me guess, Savardin raised an eyebrow, sardonic. The one everyone is talking about. The heroine is virtuous and loyal, and her potential patron's lover hates her. She wins through because of her unswerving loyalty and devotion.
You've seen it.
More than once. But not for a very long time.
I smiled.
Some things never change?
Savardin laughed in response.
Apparently not. Songs any good?
Pretty good. You can watch back at the room if you like. But back in the room, she folded down the servant's cot, saying,
I'm just going to sit down a moment,
and was asleep 2 minutes and 3 seconds later. Chapter 20. It would almost certainly be weeks before Savardin even had an audience date. In the meantime, we were living here, and I would have a chance to see how things stood. Who might side with which Mianai if things came to an open breach? Maybe even whether one Mianai or another was in ascendance here. Any information might prove crucial when the moment arrived. And it would arrive, I was increasingly sure. Anander Mianai might or might not realize what I was any time soon, but at this point there was no hiding me from the rest of herself. I was here, openly, noticeably, along with Savardin. Thinking of Savardin and Captain Vell Osk's eagerness to meet her, I thought also of Hundred Captain Rubrun Osk. Of Anander Mianai complaining she couldn't guess her opinion, could rely on neither her opposition nor her support, nor could she pressure her in order to discover or compel it. Captain Rubrun had been fortunate enough in her family connections to be able to take such a neutral stance and keep it. Did that say something about the state of Mianai's struggle with herself at the time? Did the captain of Mercy of Collar also take that neutral stance? Or had something changed in that balance during the time I had been gone?
And what did it mean that Inspector Supervisor Skyot disliked her? I was certain dislike was the expression I had seen on her face when I had mentioned the name.